Well, here we are. Reality sets in. Tim.
Hello, how are you, Jerry?
I'm quite fine. And yourself, other than a little sleep deprived?
Excellent. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Oh, yeah, I think we're going to have some really good fun.
Sarah's not online yet, according to my screen.
Yeah, mine either. She didn't go on a walkabout, did she?
No.
Well, you and I can get started. She'll be here as quick as she can.
She will.
Well, so first impressions. I did some interesting homework for this one.
Yeah?
I thought, well, it would be good. I heard a lot of good things about the Microsoft event the day before. So I thought, well, good prep would be for me to watch that. My first challenge was finding some place where they had a video of it. They had it divided up into about eight different videos all over the place. So I finally found a site, Engadget, that had the whole thing summed up in 10 minutes, which suited me just fine. I have to say, it was an excellent event, and they did a really good job. So, you know, I thought that was good prep. They had a completely different kind of offering than Apple did, and there's lots for us to talk about. So I'll just leave it at that, and that was kind of my prep work for this.
Okay.
So what did you guys think?
Well, I think, now, 2 days ago, we did a podcast with our wild speculations about what would happen. And I think the only thing we got right was the demise of the USB ports. Nothing
right.
else that we discussed has come to pass. I mean, we didn't bother to discuss the MacBook Pros because they'd already been leaked. But nothing else. No new Macs, no new processors, no new displays, no updates to the Mac Minis. This has been an extremely disappointing presentation from Apple. And you said you watched the Microsoft in 10 minutes. I reckon Apple only had about 10 minutes of material for this 1.5 hours as well. Tim Cook was reduced to showing us somebody's family holiday snaps.
Ooh, boy. Tim, get in here with some sunshine. Your
yes.
Dark
well,
is sucking me in. I agree
yes.
with her, though.
Sarah's not terribly thrilled with it.
No.
I essentially agree with her, but I would, being me, I would state it slightly differently. My feeling was that, we called it wild speculation, and if we changed it to wild speculation concerning what Apple might do in the next couple of years, we may yet be correct. But in terms of
correct, there you go.
In terms of the presentation of a couple of hours ago, well, that was in line with the slightly surprising modern reality, which is that what gets leaked beforehand is surprisingly accurate. Now, for many years, the operation was much smaller, and there were far fewer leaks. But these days, the leaks are surprisingly accurate. And there were no leaks about iMacs, and lo, there was nothing about iMacs. Now, with regard to our wild speculation, I regret nothing because there's plenty of sites out there that are very sober and basically people who spend their lives trying to nail this stuff. You can listen to John Gruber's excellent Daring Fireball go on for over 2 hours about what they expected, and they were him and John Maltz did a good job and were
yep.
surprisingly accurate. I think that it's entirely valid for us to offer something different. It's a bit boring if you just recite what the rumors say. So the wild speculation I enjoyed, but not much of it was appeared in that presentation. The MacBook Pros look very nice, and that strip looks, the touch bar looks really good, but we were after desktop machines, and we got nothing.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, and I think even Gruber and Maltz were a little surprised by that. I think they speculated a bit that there would be something.
I think they thought there would be a Mac Pro, because the Mac Pro being made in the U.S., they can actually keep that secret.
Yes, they said the same thing we said. So we were, our speculations were in line with Gruber and Maltz's speculation with regard to the Pro. Also, I must say, I think you, Sarah, brought up that there would be a strip on the Pro, even though, you know, other people said it too. We got that right.
Well, we'd seen leaked pictures of that one.
Right.
We looked at the Mac Buyer's Guide when we were doing our talk 2 days ago, and it's a sea of red badges. Don't buy, don't buy, don't buy, don't buy. There is now one green badge in the entire range. That's it. Having waited, 3 years for some of these upgrades, we get one machine upgraded. And I have to say, given the length of time we've waited for an upgrade, the performance enhancements of this MacBook Pro are not enormous. They range from sort of 50% faster to 100%, depending on what you're doing. And I think after 3 years, that's not a great boost.
Agreed. I thought, back to your comment about the snaps, the photos, as we call them here in the U.S. Yeah, I had the exact same reaction. And Tim looked like, he looked like he had had a few Johnny Walkers before he got out there. He was very relaxed and going very slow. He looked like he was, trying to fill some time or some damn thing. So I was, from the get-go, very surprised. And don't forget, I just watched the Microsoft presentation, which was crackerjack, by the way. It was excellent. And the people in it didn't look like they were counting the days till they were going to retire.
Well, the Apple presentation at WWDC in June was sparkling. They had so much to say. They didn't have enough time to say it. They were running over each other to get the good news out to us, and they did a superb job. This one, you just got the feeling that they didn't have enough material.
Yeah, there almost wasn't enough for the strip is great, but I follow maybe three or four people on Twitter who are big iOS people, kind of like myself, and their comment was kind of universal. Okay, the strip's real nice, but you could do all that stuff on an iPad probably better.
Well, my Twitter feed is mainly developers, and they're all saying, yeah, the strip's real nice, but it's not good for people who touch type, because you have to keep looking down at it because it changes. And anyway, we don't develop on a MacBook. We need a desktop.
Exactly. Now, I read a subtext into this, and tell me if you guys read the same thing. Subtext I read was, this looks like a pretty good lineup of Macs. What do you think? And they kind of just dot, 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 which the subtext to me was, hey, we're going to get rid of all those Airs, and who knows? We may not even do any more Mac Pros. If you want something hot, go ahead and set up this incredible MacBook Pro, spend, $4,000 on it and put three monitors on it and some RAID, which they showed us, right? And there you go. Next, done.
Well, that was my feeling, too, because, they had a big slide banner come up that said Mac. And Tim Cook said, okay, now we talk about Mac. And I thought, yay, great. But to him, it seems Mac now means MacBook. I think for the first time, I actually now believe that Apple is getting out of the desktop market.
Wow. Yep.
Well,
and so what do we do as developers?
Well, I think you got to get a monitor and go ahead. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was just thinking, you two guys are developers and right at the coalface, and it's after events like this. I'm perusing Mac Surfer here, which is just a row of headlines, and the initial reaction is it's a little bit early. They're really just reporting what it said, but they don't have this. There's not the same feel that you guys are projecting. And but that may come through in the next day or two. But it's important to remember that we're not normal. we have been up to our eyeballs in Apple for a great many years, and it's good to remember that the breakthrough machine in terms of conventional computing for Apple was in fact their laptops, starting in the education market. Their laptops were unequivocally better than anything else available, and to the extent that everybody else just blatantly started copying their machines. And even when they tried to do different things like notebooks, eventually they just gave up and started trying to make things like the Apple laptops. The laptops were the breakthrough machine, not the desktops.
Agree.
You don't consider the iMac to have been a breakthrough machine? I would consider the iMac, the original iMac, to have been a groundbreaking machine for Apple too.
Well, that brought Apple back from the dead, and that brought Steve Jobs back into the company, definitely. But as far as technical respect, I guess it didn't get much of that.
Well, it got their market share from about 1.8 or 9%, which was their bottom, up to back up to about 8% or so. That the maximum that they ever had was 12%, I think. But it has since gone quite a lot higher than that. But the original candy coloured machines, yes, they staved off annihilation, but they really only got us back up to about 8 or 9% of the market.
Yes, and from a technical point of view, once again, they were no big shakes, but they did bring hope, and so I think there's truth in what you say, Sarah, but at the same time, there's also truth in the idea that the laptops are what really got them into double digits.
So the laptops are where they think it is. And, of course, they the longer they put off upgrading the desktops, if they ever do, the lower sales are going to be of them. And then then they have the less incentive to do so. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy if you just stop updating them.
Well, let's just put this – let me put it to you, Sarah. Would it matter to you if you had a really great laptop that you hooked up to your monitor – or if you had, a Mac Pro or, an iMac? I mean, I guess it'd be a lot more expensive for you, wouldn't it?
Well, a Mac Pro with a nice monitor as opposed to an iMac, you're talking nearly triple the money. So, if I win the lottery, that's probably what I'd buy. But that's a fairly unlikely situation. Mac Pro has always been a beautiful machine, but now that Apple has given up on making their own displays, they've partnered with LG to make very nice displays. So a Mac Pro with an LG display, an updated Mac Pro with an LG display would be nice. But again, that's way more expensive than an iMac.
What's that LG go for?
Retina. Hang on, I had that up here. The 5K LG is $1,300.
Is that the one they make with Apple?
Yeah, there's two in the Apple store. There's the 5K for $1,300 and there's a 4K for $700.
Okay, so you add that on to What MacBook Pro would you be able to live with? Performance-wise.
Well, I think I'd want one. I'd want one of the ones with the touch bar. You know, I don't want one of the old ones that they're still selling. You know, if you go to the App Store and the Apple Store now, there are three computers labeled MacBook Pro 13-inch. So there's no way that could confuse anybody.
yeah,
but
agreed.
I think I would want the performance of the 15-inch. So that's even base level. That's $2,400 plus. Then I'd go with the smaller thing, a smaller display. So that's $700. So we're looking at $3,100 for a basic system there, as opposed to the Mac I have, which is $1,500.
Interestingly enough, the Surface Studio from Microsoft, software aside, is $29.99.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
And that it is, and it's essentially, it's like an iMac, yeah, pretty much. And they have, instead of a strip, they have a dial that you dial to do many of the same things.
Yeah,
it's a
the whole
separate
screen
thing.
Is
it's like
a
puck.
Screen, as I understand it.
It is, and it's got some really cool brackets. You could push it down so that it's kind of at a very oblique angle, and you could easily use it as a touch device, very big touch device. It's a completely different kind of computer. I'm not going to try to compare them, but maybe this is some crazy new price point. But the iMac, when it's all specced out and really going, is a hell of a machine.
Yes.
Price-wise.
Yes.
You know.
Okay. I've got a question for you guys to do with the tin tacks from the point of view of Apple internally. How many design teams do you think they have? It's very tempting to believe that a company with $200 billion in the bank can simply throw money at the problem and say, well, there's the iMac design team and there's the iPad design team, and basically that every piece of hardware has its own design team, or a group like the laptops would have a separate design team from the iMacs. But in fact, because the iMacs are really closely related to the laptops, is it possible that Apple that the design team had been mostly working on the phone and the bigger seller, the phone, and then the closely related iPads, and now some of them have finally been diverted back onto the laptops, and the final step is to say about a month ago to those guys, well, you've finished the laptops. Next is the iMacs. We need to get this laptop technology. We need a new keyboard for the iMacs, and we need to upgrade the processors and so forth, and to do basically to redesign the iMacs. And that they've just started that, and in about 3 or 4 months they will have applied their up-to-date technology that we just saw revealed 3 hours ago to the iMacs, and that basically there's one design team and they're operating on a priority basis according to where the bucks are.
Well, that could very well be, I believe there's maybe even some precedent for that happening. I seem to recall last year that belatedly there were upgrades to the Mini and the iMac. Is that right, Sarah? Does that sound right?
I think there were speed bumps, yeah. Not actually upgrades, just a new processor.
Well, I think in this case, what I would hope for would be, and maybe Tim, you were referring to this, touch bar on the keyboard so that you could take advantage of touch bar.
Yep.
That would be nice.
I'm sure that'll come.
Do you think Do you think it's possible they had something that they meant to announce today, but it turned out not to be ready? Because, like we all said, they gave the distinct impression that they didn't have enough material for this presentation.
Well, I thought that you're pointing out that the hello again, I felt was, to me, that was an absolute clincher that there was going to be a desktop Mac. That's how it's been used previously, and I was really surprised that there wasn't. And in fact, as the hardcore Apple part of me said, well, hang on, you're debasing the currency here. You can't go calling on iconic moments like hello and hello again and not give us a new an upgrade to the desktop Mac.
Yeah, that is strange.
They didn't even mention the hello. You know, there was no hello display on the new MacBooks or anything.
They showed us that crazy laptop, that old one.
Yeah, which wasn't their first one. I don't quite know why they chose that one first one when it wasn't. But it was the 25 years
because
ago
the luggable
one, but it's not definitely not the first one.
The luggable that came before it was an embarrassment. I think that's why.
Yeah, I think that's probably why. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think it may have been too. That thing was huge and heavy.
Very
so anyways,
heavy.
Well, yeah, Brad. Go ahead.
Here's something else we didn't discuss in our wild speculation: is the iPad. And traditionally, October has been iPad refresh month. Again, if you go back to Mac Buyer's Guide, all the iPads are marked as caution. Buy yet, but definitely don't buy unless you really need it. No iPhone. I mean, the only things marked green on the Mac Rumors Buyer's Guide now are the latest iPhone, the new MacBook Pro, and the Apple Watch. Every other product line that Apple has is marked either don't buy or caution.
Yeah, Raz is online here with us. He's put a couple things into the queue here in the comments. He said, TV is not big enough, ? What does that mean, I wonder? The LG? Mm-hmm. Is that what he's referring to?
They made a big thing about the TV app. So you now watch TV through the TV app instead of through your TV.
Netflix.
That's very US-centric, so really not of interest to us. Raz, the adapter, that's an interesting one. If you buy one of these new MacBook Pros and you just bought a new iPhone 7, you cannot connect them. You will have to you will have to buy the adapter, which I think I looked up, and it's $19. There you go. You can get one for $19, Raz.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, those can't be as cheap as the other ones because I think they've got that Thunderbolt stuff in them.
I think they're a smart cable, yeah. But can you just imagine the swarm of dongles that everybody's going to have dangling out of these things?
I'd just like to say to Raz, I thought that the Apple TV app was very nice. I thought it all looked quite slick, and I was a bit surprised that it didn't seem to include Netflix. But Gruber points out that Netflix doesn't really have. Apparently, according to him, they've got the state of the art presentation system for such media, and they don't really need Apple. And Apple would just be an intermediary, not to their advantage. But Netflix to one side, I thought that that tying all the other stuff together was pretty slick. I was impressed with that, and. I think that it will be popular. I didn't like the black background for the icon. The concept is awesome. Yeah, I think the concept's awesome.
Yeah, the concept is awesome, and the icon did look kind of understated, I guess I would say, compared to everything else around it. And as regards Netflix, I'm a Netflix user, so I would have very much have appreciated it being included in the TV, because you know what I do now is I have to go to three different apps, Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix, in order to find a movie. I'm looking for a movie. It's going to be on one of them, but I don't know which one. So I would appreciate something like TV app to negotiate that for me, and I can't see how that would hurt Netflix.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is that if you can watch live TV through the TV app, then you can get rid of all the remotes that you might have on your existing system and just use the Apple TV remote to negotiate everything.
Yeah,
Gruber
I can't see how that's going to hurt Netflix.
Because Gruber thinks it would hurt Netflix because it would provide the opportunity for Apple to get data about what's being done. But Apple tend not to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They try not to. You'd think they'd be able to reassure Netflix. But it would be really slick if everything was in the one app. That would be good.
Yeah, and Raz points out that there's Just Watch, which I've checked out, and its promise is great, but its delivery is nothing like what we saw on that Apple TV. That was very nice, very slick, integrated with Siri, integrated with the swiping and what have you, and, you know, it would just figure it out and take you right there. And, yeah, you guys over there don't, in Australia, you guys don't use Netflix, but there's a a reasonable amount.
And we've now got Netflix, but we don't have Hulu or anything else.
Ah. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy finding stuff. Not as easy as it should be, I don't think.
No, we're still back in the dark ages where you actually go out and get a physical DVD sometimes.
Yeah, we are too. Because sometimes it's not on any of those three. And you want to see it, and, you know, we go to Redbox, which is very convenient, and, you know, that's better waiting.
Let's imagine it's March next year, and Apple says we've got an announcement. Well, I don't think we need to do a podcast on it, because I think we simply refer back to our wild speculation and say, take two.
I'll just edit
call
it.
Call me
huh?
in the morning. Yeah, just change the date.
That'd be pretty funny. I was surprised in listening to Gruber's podcast that they didn't even speculate about ARM. They didn't even mention it. Not even once. And, you know, I can kind of see the sense in that. If they're going to make a move like that, we might see something like that at WWDC, because they've got to get all the developers on board for something like that, perhaps.
Yeah,
well, it just struck me that
right.
at this moment in time, all the entire Mac range, MacBook and iMac and Mac Pro and Mac Mini, they all needed to be updated. And so to me, that seemed like the perfect time to make the move. But they have chosen just to update one of their models, and we shall have to see.
Yeah,
well,
I think we're all
enjoyed our wild speculation.
I did too.
I enjoyed our wild speculation far more than the reality. Yeah, exactly.
We had a lot more fun a couple of days ago talking about that than I did. And you guys have to work to watch this. You have to wake yourselves up. So I can really appreciate the fact that you have some expectations. You have some expectations. So, oh boy. Well, I'm sorry that you did get yourself up so early, because it was quite a bit underwhelming, I thought. And I wasn't just thinking of your situation. I was thinking about my own, too.
Well, I quite enjoyed it, but I did feel that it was... I did feel that the desktops were missing, and it's Apple's policy not to mention anything under development. I know why they do that. I support that, but... I feel that my expectations will be very high come March, And so I'm duly setting myself up for a crash in March when we see what we actually get. We'll get a speed bump on the Intel chips and a strip on the keyboard, and yay.
I think it's time to start researching Hackintoshes.
Wow. Yeah, there's a thought.
Boy.
There's a thought. What would you Hackintosh? What would you Hackintosh, Sarah?
Well, I want a modern iMac. And if Apple won't do it, I'll build my own.
I'm sure you would. What would you build it out of, is what I'm asking?
Oh, right. Well, you know, we have a PC for gaming. You know, our sons love designing them and putting them together. Or designing the package we put together. But I think, and I have done no research about Hackintosh, but I think you can do the same thing. You get a PC, basically you get a PC case and you get the right Intel chip and as fast as you can, you spec it up and somehow you make it run Mac OS, which is a bit I'm not at all sure about. But you can, it would not be as pretty as the iMac, but it would be a desktop machine, and you could have a modern CPU in it and a better graphics card as well.
So in other words, it'd be performance, basically.
Yeah. So you'd still have
you could buy a
benefit
Surface.
Of the Mac OS software. No, Mac OS is the bit I want. I
yep.
heard you. I heard you.
I know.
Actually, if I was a graphic designer,
I
would be thinking seriously about a Microsoft Surface.
Yeah. The Studio was interesting. That's the big one that flips and
yeah.
flops, which is kind of cool. But they also have kind of a what do they call that one, the Surface Book? Is that what it is? Like a notebook. And that was kind of cool.
It seems to be a bit confused as to whether it's kind of a tablet or a laptop.
Yeah, it's a hybrid for sure. They did a good job on the hardware on that one too, but that's something different entirely. But yeah, I would think you could get one of those Surfaces. But like I said before, they start at $29.99. That's and they're going to be highly integrated. They're not going to be like white label PCs at all.
No. Well, I do want something that can run Mac OS on it. So. I'm not actually interested in buying a Windows machine, even though that Microsoft Surface Studio is a very cool piece of equipment.
Yeah, I agree too. The only letdown really is the OS and the apps that run on it. What do you guys think of the Photoshop stuff? I thought that the Photoshop lady was incredible.
She was having fun. Photoshop, you know, those apps they showed, none of them are apps that I use. So, you know, to me, it wasn't, it passed me by. I don't know how difficult what she was doing was before you used that touch bar.
Well, she laid it out pretty well, and I use some of those features. I don't use Photoshop, but I use other apps that do the same thing. And, yeah, it saves several steps. And the big thing that she showed that was really good, and I don't think Surface has anything like this, the cool thing is you can put your entire work on the screen and totally start working on it, modifying it with touch bar only. Now that is big because what you do with graphics is, like for instance, when I work on a piece of graphics, I have to get rid of all my tools and everything and black out the back of the screen so I can see what it is that I did. In context, because if the tools are all around it, you can't really see how gradients work and how colors work and how tints work and fades. So that is a big deal, what she showed. I thought that she gave it not only good at presentation, but the benefits and features of the toolbar in that context and the speed of the machine, that was excellent. Yeah, that was full marks.
Okay. I did like the fact that the demos were all full screen. Without having to hunt for menus or have palettes or open or whatever.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how different things look. You know, I think I've got it just right, and I take my image and I save it, then I put it into my app, and oh, geez, that doesn't look right. it just didn't look the same. And it was the same, you know, all the values were the same, but you can't tell until it's in situ. And now you can really see things the way you want to see them, full screen. And that's a pretty big deal. I thought that was nice. Yeah, it's a good machine. I mean, the MacBook Pro is a very, very good machine, and it's great. And if you're in graphics, I think it'd be super. I bet the compile times on it are excellent with Xcode, all that good stuff. But yeah, if you were looking for a desktop, disappointment.
Yeah.
Well, the online, I saw at least one commentary. It was The Verge actually saying that the timing of the release of these laptops was perfect. I presume are they talking about the Christmas buying splurge, or is it the academic year? We've missed the beginning of the academic year in the US, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
Tim Cook said the holiday season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good for that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it'll be very good for that. I'm sure a lot of people are going to love having one of these. Okay.
Well, it certainly saved us money because we were going to buy a new iMac and a new iPad, and neither of them are there, so we can keep our money in our pockets.
There you go. I will do the same. I'm going to have to get a new Mac sooner or later, and I was actually eyeballing the MacBook, but I believe the MacBook, you know, what, 6 months from now, will probably get a bump.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
We got the MacBook with the fastest possible CPU.
Which one did you get? The Air?
Well, Sarah got the MacBook that was released in March or whenever it was, and we bumped its CPU up to the fastest possible.
Oh, that's the one you inherited. That's correct. I remember now. So it's got a nice, fast CPU in it. Is it fast enough for you, Sarah?
Well, you know, if I'm trying to build something in Xcode, I certainly noticed the difference between it and my iMac, my 2-year-old iMac. But it's certainly adequate.
Yeah, and it's got a good screen, yeah?
It's got a lovely screen, and it's super light. Actually, the thinness, Apple continues to frustrate me with their obsession with the thinness of their devices. With the iPhones, if they just made it a bit thicker so the camera didn't protrude, we could have extra battery life. Why do those couple of millimeters make such a difference to them? With these MacBooks, the new MacBook Pros, there seems to be the primary statistic that they're interested in is how thin they are. But if they were a bit thicker, we might have better cooling or better battery or something instead of the thickness. I just don't understand their obsession with this.
Yeah, I'm a little puzzled by it too. Did you guys ever see the Monty Python thing, bicycling in North Cornwall? Did you ever see that? Do you remember what it was?
I'm sure I did.
What it was was one of the Monty Python guys was bicycling in North Cornwall, and he kept having these crashes and accidents. And his main concern was whether or not his sandwiches got damaged. So he had these incredible sandwich containers and organizational systems to preserve his sandwiches. And so, you know, he was a crap bicyclist, but he really had a good collection of sandwiches. And sure enough, you know, he got to one of the stops along this whatever route all these people bicycling were taking. And he got into the pub and he sat up at this table, and this other bicyclist came in and he sat up next to him, and they both had the same kind of storage containers for their sandwiches, and they talked sandwiches for a good hour in the pub. That's kind of like the thinness thing. You know, this is a computer. Look how thin it is.
Raz is correct. Oh. They're so thrilled with their percentage changes in the size. Look, it's 17% smaller, and it's actually, you know, there's a pause and you think, well, great, but it's actually been some years since the mass of a laptop struck me as an issue. That in a sense, I feel that's a problem solved. They need to move on.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand, particularly with the MacBook Pro. That's not meant to be a super portable executive style computer. That's the MacBook. And I can understand why they make that super thin and do all that stuff. I know lots of executives who really like the little bitty computers because they travel constantly and they have to carry it around an airport. Okay, good. But I don't feel that way about a MacBook Pro. I think it's a professional. He just needs to take it from one job to another.
During that presentation, did they ever mention the battery life? I don't remember them mentioning the battery life.
Yeah, they did.
The
10 hours.
Machine.
10 hours.
Did they?
10 hours.
10 hours. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, but it was like driving through a small town. You couldn't blink. You'd miss it.
Yeah, I must have gone to sleep.
Yeah, they did just one point. They said all day battery life, which equals 10 hours.
They didn't even say 10 hours. All
well, 10 hours
is
pretty
all
good.
Day battery life, and then they showed it, the screen, right, Sarah?
I think so, yeah. They didn't say 10 hours.
Anyway.
They just said all day, yeah. So,
and then they showed the 10-hour screen.
We've gone way over our time, chaps. I think we've spread enough doom and gloom for one day.
Yeah, this was inspiring. So, hide the sharp object, Mary Jane.
Thanks for your comments, Raz.
Yeah, Raz is cool.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
And so is his app.
Oh. All right.
Okay, well, I'll
see you
later,
guys.
Guys
on the rebound. Get some sleep.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.